Hey True North, it's Thursday, September 10th. My name is Eugene, and welcome back to True North Daily. So as is per usual with 2020, the last couple of nights this week has been one of the worst for me. On top of the heat wave, on top of the fires, on top of the apocalyptic smoke that we had to deal with yesterday, I had to deal with two nights of power outages unannounced from Pacific Gas and Electric Company. Now, to give some context, in the first heat wave a couple of weeks back, a transformer blew up for the apartment. Now, although it was hot, although it was almost 90 in my apartment, I understood it was a heat wave, equipment malfunction. So as a good Christian and a good pastor, I gave PG&E a lot of grace. They came, took around 10 to 12 hours, fixed transformer, and the power came back. Now, fast forward to Monday night. This is in the middle of our second heat wave. It's 105 outside. And in the middle of my fantasy football draft, the power shuts off. No warning, no text, just equipment malfunction again. Now I'm a little annoyed. I had to again deal with my kids trying to sleep in this heat while the AC was now off. My wife and I had to deal with how do we charge our phones, but we kind of just went through it. We went through it once, we can do it again. Fast forward yesterday night or Tuesday night, and as I'm in the middle of recording a podcast talking about this very topic, the power shuts off again. Unannounced, no text, no warning. Now, Monday night, I was annoyed, but Tuesday night, to quote the great poet Drake, I was upset. Now, it wasn't just because it was hot. It wasn't because there was a stoppage to my work. It was, one, my kids were not sleeping well the night before, and they had to deal with this again. My wife has to wake up early for work, and she was getting things ready, but now she can't. Both of our phones were low on battery, so I had to go to the car to charge it. I was texting some choice words to my wife about PG&E, and I was angered, and I felt completely justified in that anger. Now, as I reflect on all that, and I'm hoping that power doesn't go out as I record this, I thought to myself, well, what do we do with our anger? You know, in this pandemic, if you're like me, you've probably felt some sort of similar experience. I hope it wasn't a power outage, but maybe your roommates, your family, maybe working from home, there's something that triggered you to feel an anger that you feel justified in. And as a Christian, how do we deal with that? You know, for me growing up in the church, I always thought simplistically, oh, anger is bad. But to be a Christian, you have to be nice, you have to be happy, you have to be optimistic. And that any notion of anger as a characteristic was just sinful. Now, as I read scripture more, there's one passage that always sticks out to me in Ephesians 4, 26-27, when Paul writes to the church, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil. See, what's interesting in that verse is Paul says, anger is different from sin. And it actually says, be angry, but do not let that lead to sin. And what he's implying is anger as an emotional state is not sinful, and actually at times is justified and even further righteous. See, anger ultimately reveals the convictions rooted deep into your soul. If your wife or husband cheats on you and you find out and you don't get angry, what it reveals is, well, maybe you weren't really in love with them in the first place. If you are in love with them and you catch them cheating on you, it should cause you to be full of anger, and it's completely justified. You see, the Bible is chock full of examples when God displays righteous anger. When he sees in his heart, his children, the people that he created in his image, sin, tear each other apart, tear this world apart. And for many of us, whether Christian or not, in our Christian worldview, what we believe is, as Imago Dei, or as we're all made in that image, when we see certain acts of injustice, for most human beings, it triggers a response of hopefully righteous anger. When everyone watched the video of George Floyd get killed by Derek Chauvin, that triggered a national righteous anger that our nation is still reeling from. And even that righteous anger is leading to, hopefully, actions that will lead to justice. You see, there is a form of righteous anger, but for many of us, our anger is not righteous because it's triggered not by concern of others, not just by acts of injustice, but often our anger reveals that we just want to be God. If you're like me, you may get upset and angry when you watch those videos of injustice. But if you're honest, you get more angry when things don't go your way. When someone cuts you off in traffic, when you perceive someone's talking bad about you, when something doesn't go your way at home with your children or with your spouse, those are the moments often when we get the most angry, which often reveals, if you're like me, that we're not concerned with true justice, but we're concerned with vengeance. We want what's best for only ourselves. You see, a biblical and righteous anger that God gives us is centered not on our own concerns, but the concerns of others. And that is how we can fuel or channel our anger to be righteous. And an interesting part of this verse that Paul says is, he says, "Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil." You see, so often, even though it may start with righteous anger, for example, when PG&E cuts off your power for 2 nights in a row with no warning, although that might be justified because in my heart I'm concerned with my children, with my wife, with what I'm paying for, so often, just like yesterday, that anger turns into resentment. That anger turns into me getting snappy with my children or short with my wife because I'm annoyed. You see, what Paul commands us to do is, although we may feel righteous anger, he commands us, be angry. Do not let that turn into resentment. Do not let that fester in your heart and soul without an escape valve. You see, righteous anger should always lead to righteous action. Maybe in the case of my own power outages, instead of just turning into resentment of thinking bad thoughts, I could have wrote an email to PG&E, could try and call them, and hopefully kept a graceful tone in expressing my anger. But no, I didn't do that. I let it fester in my heart, and it poured out into my family and to others, and turned into an anger concerned about myself. You see, the difference between rage and anger is that anger hopefully leads to a pathway to peace, to restoration. Rage only seeks more destruction. So the next time you get angered with your children, with your family, with your friends, do not let it turn to rage. But as Paul commands us, allow our anger to turn into righteous action. Do not let the sun go down on it so the devil takes that opportunity to turn to sin, but allow that anger, hopefully righteous anger, turn into acts of righteousness, grace, and love. Let's pray. Lord, often anger is a great revealer of where our soul is at, and for many of us, including myself above all, our anger shows that we're only concerned about our own selves. Allow us to take heed of who you are, of your example of righteous anger in Scripture, to be angered by the injustices of this world more than the discomforts of our own life, and allow that righteous anger not to fester into rage or resentment, but to turn into acts of righteousness, of justice, of love, and mercy. We thank you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.